Beach, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 50 million Americans have already voted, so closing arguments by Vice President Kamala Harris may not make any difference. Still, she made her case on the Ellipse in Washington last night. ABC's Selena Wang was there.
She made the pitch to Americans that while Trump is focused on his own grievances and himself, she is focused on the issues that Americans care about. She went through her plan to lower the cost of groceries, of prescription drugs, her plan to create more affordable housing, and she of course pledged to restore reproductive freedoms. Abortion, a critical issue that her campaign believes is going to turn out people to the polls on Election Day.
Donald Trump rallied before voters in Allentown, Pennsylvania, asking them,
"Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?"
We find out this morning how much the U.S. economy grew in the last quarter. The Federal Reserve could use that number to make further decisions on interest rates at its meeting next week. This is ABC News. We got another look at the health of the U.S. economy today, with the Commerce Department set to release the latest GDP numbers. Economists expecting they'll show the economy grew at a 2.6% annual rate. Another sentence for the man who used a hammer to attack the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
As Judge Harry Dorfman was handing down David DePape's state sentence, Dorfman said it was his intention that DePape never get out of prison, giving him life in prison without the chance of parole for kidnapping, burglary, and false imprisonment of an elder. This sentence is on top of a 30-year federal prison term. When DePape was given the chance to address the court, he spoke about September 11th being an inside job, his ex-wife being replaced by a body double, and his attorneys conspiring against him. He told the court he is psychic. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A new study says teenagers are spending on average 4 hours every day staring into screens, and that does not include screen time they need to do for school. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Badgers face a new Iowa quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. When the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night, it'll be against a new quarterback. Brendan Sullivan, expected to be the starter after Iowa's Cade McNamara went down with an injury early against Northwestern last weekend. Sullivan led Iowa to a 40-14 win, scoring 37 unanswered points, and was asked what he'd like to improve on against Wisconsin.
Like everybody else, there's a lot to improve on, whether that's passing, whether that's running. I think decision-making as well. I think just adds another element to be able to run the ball, but definitely a lot of film to go back and look at and learn from.
Badgers head coach Luke Fickell now facing Sullivan at quarterback.
There is a different skill set, and so you got to be aware of that. And so just to make another little challenge, I don't think it's going to come up there before the idea that this is going to be a physical, tough game. And if you can't outmatch or match their physical toughness and mental toughness, that it won't matter who's at quarterback.
Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight in New York. The Dodgers lead the Yankees 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz are about to team up in a new film, Day Drinker. Yes, my fellow Wisconsinites, it is an awesome title. The film will tell the story of a cruise ship bartender, Depp, who befriends a mysterious day drinker played by Cruz, and they end up embroiled in a caper. This will be the fourth time Depp and Cruz grace the screen together after starring in Blow, Pirates of the Caribbean, On Stranger Tides, and Murder on the Orient Express. If you love Squid Game, you might love the new spinoff, which will be an American version. Deadline reports that the project will be led by director David Fincher, whose credits include films like The Game and Seven. This will be the first spinoff of the Korean show. Season 2 of the original Squid Game premieres December 26th of this year on Netflix. Producers say the third and final season will also premiere sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and windy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today and falling temperatures too. We're going to drop into the upper 40s by late afternoon. Rain tonight, windy down to 33 tomorrow. Rain with a few snowflakes mixing in with temperatures falling into the mid-30s by late afternoon. We could get a half inch to an inch or more of rain by the time it ends. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 57.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we come to you live from Osseo, Wisconsin and the Norske Nook as our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour continues with Reed and Trigby. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning, October 30th. 6 days to go until Election Day. Nice to have you along. Coming up this hour, State Senator Chris Larson is going to join us for our homeroom segment where we talk about public education, the opportunities, the threats, and one of the more recent ones deals with reading and literacy programs, new programs that were required, put in place by the Republican-controlled legislature, and then when it came time to fund them, they said, nah. So we'll get an update on what's happening with that. Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro joins us in a couple of moments as well. She has been talking to candidates and VIPs crisscrossing Wisconsin in this final week of the campaign. But first, it is time for a true Halloween tale, the trick-or-treat comparison that is inevitable when you have temperatures that start out in the 70s the day before Halloween, but we're talking about snowflakes and cold air and wet rain by the time the kids are actually out trick-or-treating. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has the details. Brittany, I know this is no fun to deliver, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, I guess, right? Oh my gosh, going from record high warm temperatures yesterday and even this morning, we're hitting record low record warm overnight lows. That's hard to say. It's a tongue twister. So it's the warmest overnight that we have had on this day so far. I mean, you can feel it. It's kind of eerie. You could just walk outside with no coat on, and It's almost Halloween. So after that, you know, we're just kind of hover here right now. We're in the upper 60s to low 70s. We'll spike a few degrees, maybe low 70s to mid 70s for the afternoon. And then we start to drop after that. That's, of course, as the rain rolls in, but the potential for some storms into southwestern parts of the state from Madison and westward. You could see some hail, damaging wind gusts, and honestly, tornadoes aren't even ruled out today. So it's a lot of wild weather. I mean, we're taking a 30-degree drop from yesterday, today's kind of vibe, through tomorrow. So a big difference in air masses slamming in together. You're going to get some heavy rain as well, especially into portions of central Wisconsin. I mean, we're looking at an excess of 2 inches, possibly. That could create some flash flooding. And then after all of this, we're going to see the rain really ramp up this afternoon into the evening, continuing overnight. It does look in the southern parts of the state to wind down by tomorrow afternoon. But up north, that's not the case. That's when it's going to really start to be flipping into some snowfall and accumulating as well. So we're looking at a wintry mix into northwest parts of the state by overnight, early tomorrow morning. And then it flips to all snow throughout the morning and potentially into the afternoon and maybe even flying still into the evening. Some of these accumulations could be around 2 to 5 inches, maybe 6 inches or more towards Duluth. It's going to be a lake effect snow machine on top of this system exiting and that cold, blustery wind blasting in. Today, winds are going to be gusting up to 40 miles per hour out of the south, keeping us warm. But by tomorrow, especially in the afternoon and evening, kids out trick-or-treating are going to feel it. It is going to be blustery, moving out of the north, gusting up to 45 miles per hour. So a dreaded, spooky forecast for trick-or-treating. Bundle up. It's icky.
Yeah, but although, I mean, look, we've been kind of spoiled. And the fact of the matter is, we talk about election day all the time, but we forget that means it's November. It's going to be November here. And this is November weather that's going to come, like it or not. Did I ever tell you about the Halloween blizzard of 1991?
Oh, God, oh, wait, no, run away.
Yesterday. Sorry. Quickly from Rob in Tigerton. Good morning. It's cloudy and a summer like 70 degrees. Yesterday, he was in Gillette and got to meet up with Kristen at a campaign event. Got a hat from her that I wear proudly. I took pictures of the people who leased my family's property combining the corn. We talked about War of the Worlds in the last segment. He said he remembers his dad and uncles talking about when it was on the radio and they had the neighbor kids over and neighbor kids were so scared they had to run to get them home just in case of, you know, aliens, things like that. And he finally notes you've got to be weather savvy later today.
You sure do.
Well said.
You got to be weather savvy and drink that water.
Yes, Greg. Just be aware. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great
day. Thank you. You too.
All right. Like I said, 6 days until the election. Voting is already underway. Later this morning, we'll get the latest numbers that should indicate that through yesterday, more than 1 million of you have already voted, myself included, by either mailing your absentee ballots in or in-person early voting, which is happening all around you right now. Be in touch with your local clerk's office to learn more or check out the voting guides at upnorthnewswi.com or Dan Schaefer's 2024 voter guide at civicmedia.us. This election campaign in such a swing state, such a closely divided state, can't help but bring in the candidates, the surrogates, the celebrities, the fans, and all the reporters who cover them, including Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemaro, who joins us now to tell us more about all the folks that you're meeting out and about. Many of them real, some of them a little on the fictitious side, for those of you who might be fans of Olivia Pope. Details in a minute. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hanging in there, Pat. We're 6 days out.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of different names coming through. We were talking about the cast of The West Wing recently, was in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area. And I mean, it not only attracted a crowd, but it was one of our more popular social media posts of the past week. And then there's another political show out there, or that had been out there, that was really popular in its day. And one of its stars has been busy campaigning in swing states like Wisconsin.
That's right. For any scandal fans, Kerry Washington made a campaign stop in Milwaukee over the weekend. She stopped at a field office here in Milwaukee on the northwest side. And just like the cast of The West Wing, was just there to talk to voters and volunteers. And of course, bring the snacks, because those volunteers are logging some long hours at this point in the campaign, encouraging folks to get out and vote. But I think what was really interesting, you know, as Kerry Washington was there to encourage volunteers, give them a little bit of motivation as we're nearing the final days of the campaign, is that she's like, you know, I'm a celebrity, but I'm not here for me.
No, she's not. So let's listen to a bit from what Kerry Washington had to say to volunteers.
I'm not here as a celebrity. I'm here as an American. I'm here as a granddaughter of immigrants. I'm here as a mother. I'm here as a union member. I'm here as a daughter. I'm here because I truly love my country, and I'm never going to silence myself because of what I do for a living. I'm not here to tell people what to do because I'm Kerry Washington. I'm not here because I played a character, Olivia Pope, on television. These people always say, like, Olivia Pope, you have to fix this. Like, Olivia Pope, save us in this moment. but actually Olivia Pope can't vote. She can't make phone calls. She can't knock on doors. She doesn't have the power that every single person living in Wisconsin has right now to really make a difference in this world. So I'm really here to say you guys are so much more important than me. And I want people to know that in this celebrity-driven culture, that I'm not here for me. I'm here for you.
Exactly. And I can't help but note that campaigns get so busy that sometimes one person in a campaign office needs to say to somebody else, stop talking over there. We're doing an interview. But, you know, it is what it is. But it was, and I like that it sounds cliche, but, you know, when these celebrities, surrogates drop in, when they're bringing the box of donuts, when they're bringing the bag, I don't know if she had in those bags there, if they were cookies or donuts or whatever, you bring in the pizza. I mean, it makes a connection. It just says, you know, you're not there just for you. You give a damn about the volunteers too. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought so. You know, just like the cast of The West Wing a week and a half ago, they walked in with trays of donuts too. I was like, oh, it's a good move. May I have one?
Yeah, right. So, of course, the candidates are a big part of it as well. And Tammy Baldwin is on her own bus tour right now.
She is. She started a statewide bus tour, I believe 5 days long, this past weekend. And I had a chance to catch up with her on one of the stops yesterday at Apple Holler in Racine County. It was just a beautiful fall day to be out campaigning, maybe a little too warm for the setting, the beautiful fall setting that we had. But on this stop, Tammy was speaking with union members, mostly from United Food Service, food and commercial workers, and just asking people for their vote. She said, you know, I believe it's really important to be here to ask people, will you support me? Because people often forget that.
Yeah. No, you have to actually make the ask. Don't just say, oh, I did all this, I did all that. You have to ask. And, you know, she went on to say, sometimes you need to explain to one another why you're voting the way you do. Let's listen to Senator Baldwin on that.
I work on issues around wellness, work, and water. Those are areas that we can all relate to. You need your help. You need a good job to get ahead. And we need natural resources that we celebrate as Wisconsinites. You know, we're a state on two Great Lakes, the mighty Mississippi is our west coast, and we care about our drinking water and the safety of our drinking water, and I fight a lot for that. So my why is to make sure that Wisconsin has somebody who's fighting every day for them, not somebody who insults them.
No, I think we know who she's talking about there. And finally, you're there in Southeast Wisconsin, and that included the first congressional district. We haven't talked much about the race there against incumbent Republican Brian Stile, but former congressman, former legislator Peter Barca is the candidate there.
There's a lot of talk at campaigns today about lowering costs, saving people money. But let's face it, healthcare is one of our most important values. It's the most important thing, and it's also the most expensive. And so if you want to lower costs, you'll do what was achieved in the Inflation Reduction Act, which was to make sure that we negotiated drug prices. And 152,000 Wisconsinites benefited from the first 10 drugs that were in fact included in that negotiation. So I would say healthcare is one of the most important issues people should be mindful of, because it is on the ballot in so many different ways.
The thing is, Elizabeth, you know, he contrasts himself with Brian Stile. How did Brian Stile do on the Inflation Reduction Act and matters that would have helped with health care?
Well, just like every other Republican in Congress, he voted against it.
That's right. And it just needed that little refresher, which Peter Barca was providing as well. Elizabeth Montemarle, thank you so much for, covering so many different things. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
When we come back, we'll talk about something Ron Johnson had to say about voter fraud and where does it really exist. That's coming up next. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
When the truth is found, to be lies in all the joy.
Grace Slick, happy birthday, 85 years old today. Senator Chris Larson from the Wisconsin Legislature joins us in about 15 minutes here to talk about reading and literacy programs and the Republicans in the legislature who mandated it but now refuse to fund it. That and much more ground we'll cover coming up in our second half hour here. But first, I wanted to start by mentioning that we have to remind you that Ron Johnson is one of Wisconsin's senators and that Eric Hovde is currently running to be essentially Ron Johnson's mini-me, so that we have two rich white guys who think that government should be run like a business and are willing to say or do pretty much anything to get into office. We certainly saw that with Ron Johnson a couple of years back when, again, despite being behind in polling and certainly behind in, shall we say, public approval, was willing to run or have billionaires on his behalf run enough wildly racist commercials to drag him across the finish line. And so we still have him. Will we have Eric Hovde in place of Tammy Baldwin? Ron Johnson certainly is hoping so and is already putting out messages like this one yesterday on Twitter. Ron Johnson writes, "Democrats oppose all efforts to secure elections. In other words, they want to make it easy to cheat, which means they want to cheat. No surprise, cheating is being exposed. Question is, how much cheating will they get away with?" Well, what does he mean by that when he says cheating is being exposed? Well, he points to a Donald Trump tweet about how in York County, Pennsylvania, they're dealing with potentially thousands of fraudulent voter registration forms and mail-in ballot applications from a third-party group that came in. The thing that Donald Trump's not telling you, the thing that Ron Johnson's not telling you, is that that third-party group is likely led by somebody by the name of Scott Pressler, who has been a tireless advocate for Donald Trump and for doing things that might seem a little underhanded, and he may have finally been caught helping to put thousands of potentially fraudulent ballots out there, and either by design or by design to get caught so that you create this headline that there's voter fraud out there so that Donald Trump can tweet about it, so that Ron Johnson can tweet about it, because apparently Ron Johnson thinks that you forgot that he was in on Trump's plan to circumvent the election. He was ready to be a mule. He was ready to take fraudulent ballots from fake electors in Wisconsin to Mike Pence on the floor of the Senate. He says he didn't know anything about it, The investigation later proved otherwise, that he had heard indeed what other Trump supporters from Wisconsin were planning to do. He just hopes that you forgot about it. So they say that there's voter fraud out there. Turns out we did find some. Comes from northern Minnesota, where a woman is facing felony charges because of the voter fraud that we have discovered. She's a 50-year-old woman, and she probably is not a listener to this program, so she probably didn't hear one of our earlier segments where a local clerk in Eau Claire talks about all the safeguards that are in place for preventing duplicate voting. Because, yes, they do monitor death records, and if someone has died before Election Day, even if an absentee ballot was sent to that person and returned, it gets pulled. The vote does not count from dead people on Election Day. So back to northern Minnesota. Itasca County did mail a ballot to a woman named Rose Javerina on September 20th, and they got the ballot back on October 7th. But someone in the office noticed that Rose Javerina's signature looked an awful lot like her daughter's handwriting as the witness. And her daughter's signature on her own ballot looked a lot like her mother's signature as the witness. By then, of course, it was confirmed that Rose had died on August 31st. And a check of the four signatures across the two ballot envelopes all were mighty similar to the daughter's signature as on file with her driver's license. So someone from the sheriff's office had a talk with the daughter, 50-year-old Danielle Miller, and she explained what's at the base of this alleged voter fraud. She said, you see, her mother, Rose, was an avid Donald Trump supporter and wanted to vote for Trump, but died before getting the chance. So Danielle Miller allegedly filled out her mom's ballot and forged her signature and forged her mother's signature as the witness on her own ballot. And Danielle Miller will now make her first court appearance on felony voter fraud charges on December 4th. So yes, Ron Johnson, the voter fraud is out there. The cheating is out there. It's just that in story after story after story after story, it appears the cheating is coming from one particular side of the aisle, those who support Donald Trump. Those who support Donald Trump tend to have some of these ethical lapses. The most recent example will be seen today in Wisconsin, where Donald Trump is going to be crisscrossing several states, and he is scheduled to appear in Green Bay with Brett Favre, the former Packer quarterback. The headline in the Associated Press perhaps says it best. Trump will campaign in Wisconsin with Brett Favre, who's linked to a Mississippi welfare scandal. You notice Hall of Fame quarterback isn't in there anymore. He was an NFL MVP three times. He was a Super Bowl champion. But the 55-year-old Favre, while not facing criminal charges, is one of more than three dozen people at the center of a welfare scandal. Favre has repaid just over $1 million he received in speaking funds that had been provided through what was supposed to be federal welfare funds that were sent to Mississippi. The scandal is that although Mississippi is one of the poorest states in the union and has been for decades, only a fraction of the federal money designed to go to welfare has gone to needy families. You always hear about, you know, welfare fraud and that it's people who are, you know, living lavish lifestyles and, you know, making money off of government checks. It wasn't happening for the poor families of Mississippi. It was happening to powerful people who were siphoning the money off and wasting it. Tens of millions of dollars were wasted, including some that went toward a University of Southern Mississippi volleyball arena that Brett Favre had been leading the fundraising efforts for. Now, again, he was not part of the group that necessarily knew of the welfare fraud. He's had to pay back the money once it was learned that that money was connected to that scheme. He continues to deny any wrongdoing. He continues to support Donald Trump. They will be campaigning together, to no one's surprise. Senator Chris Larson next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A traditional food favorite here in Wisconsin being reinvented, sauerkraut. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. A company in Northeast Wisconsin is going all in on not only traditional sauerkraut, but flavored sauerkraut. Those details on the way.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Fermented Food Holdings, one of the world's largest sauerkraut producers, is going all in on the small community of Bear Creek in Northeast Wisconsin, where they're investing $13 million in a production facility and relocating their corporate headquarters to Madison. Jorge Azevedo is their CEO and explains the consumer trends they noticed that helped inspire this expansion.
There is a mature item in the food aisle. If you go into your center aisle, your canned sauerkraut, that has largely stagnated and even started to drop down. And we noticed that the refrigerated stuff, our premium items, the jars that sell for $9, they were growing a lot. And as we started digging, we found out that the people with high income that could pay a lot of money for these artisanal flavors, they weren't having a problem buying it. But the folks that have been traditionally buying that center aisle sauerkraut, that were trying to find a more economically viable solution for them, could not afford it anymore. It's just a reflection of our economy today.
Jorge Azevedo, the CEO of Fermented Foods Holding. They are the investors in the Bear Creek facility that will be producing Flanagan sauerkraut. He said sauerkraut consumption is on an upswing because people see it as a superfood. The company is also going to be offering flavored sauerkrauts, including their classic flavor, beet, kimchi, garlic, and dill flavors.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Hey, we'd love for you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing when it comes to what's happening with Wisconsin agriculture and food production. All you need to do, submit your email address at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and windy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today and falling temperatures, too. We're going to drop into the upper 40s by late afternoon. Rain tonight, windy down to 33 tomorrow. Rain with a few snowflakes mixing in with temperatures falling into the mid-30s by late afternoon. We could get a half inch to an inch or more of rain by the time it ends. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild joins me in studio. Wisconsin State Rep Francesca Hong on the status of the Wisconsin election. Plus, Greg Pallast joins us talking about the mega dirty tricks. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is usually not the song we would pick for our homeroom segment to talk about public education in Wisconsin. It's one of the rare times where the certain part of the lyric actually fits about a brick in the wall, because you may as well be talking to a brick wall when it comes to some of the ways that our state government should be supporting public education, but is not, for many reasons that we've covered here, one of the most recent of which is mandating a new reading and literacy program and then refusing to fund it, part of the political games that are being played in the state legislature. And here to talk about that and so many other related topics is State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. Senator Larson, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm very good, thank you. I would be remiss if I didn't start, however, talking about one of our colleagues, Rob Coles, and his announcement the other day that he would be voting for Vice President Kamala Harris. Coles is the longest-serving legislator currently, certainly the longest-serving Republican. I served with him 15 years ago. You serve with him now. Between his announcement and then that of the Republican mayor of Waukesha, what does that tell you about some of the Republicans that you worked with, that I've worked with, and where this election seems to be going?
Yeah, it's a, I mean, with what's not surprising is that he feels this way. Honestly, I think one of the perks of being elected and being a little bit younger is that some of the older folks in the Senate, when they think they're whispering, you can usually hear most of what they're saying. And a lot of these guys have detested Donald Trump from the beginning, right? The same way the rest of us see how he's a con artist, how he is not, he's only interested in himself. And then in the latest way, since 2020, how it's very clear that he's willing to overthrow democracy and willing to overthrow every idea that is America. What's exciting about it, what's new, is finally you actually have a Republican willing to say it into a microphone, into the public, and to be able to say what everyone else knows, that the line was crossed long ago. And for Rob specifically, Trump messing around with Nazi stuff and quoting Hitler and saying he wanted Hitler's generals was too much for him, as it should be too much for anybody. I think sometimes we get this idea that, okay, there's two restaurants open at the food court, they must both be great. But, you know, taking a step back, there's one that is serving broken glass and poison, and there's one that's serving nourishing meals, right? And I think it becomes pretty clear once you're in it long enough, like Rob is.
Yeah, and look, what's in the nourishing meal may not be your favorite food, but again, the alternative is broken glass, and that right. Some people are finally willing to speak out about it. And it underscores a point that I've been making for years. And again, I've been out of the legislature for a long time, but that there are good people from both parties who serve in there, just as there are people from both parties that, frankly, are a pain in the arse to deal with. And some of them have been in charge for a very long time. So that takes us to, you know, where we are with public education. And right now, folks are mostly talking about all the referendums. And as we've said repeatedly on this program, you know, the smart way to go would be to say yes to a referendum if it's in your area, and no to any of the legislators who created the conditions that have led to all these referendums. So while we've stressed that a lot, we haven't really gotten into the new literacy program requirement, which, as I understand, not every Democrat was necessarily fond of the way that these literacy programs would work. But it's made even worse by Republicans then saying, well, we're not going to fund this. Can you explain what it is that your Republican colleagues are telling you as far as why they required a literacy program but now won't fund it?
Yeah, what's interesting is this is a bill that's been, it's taken a while for them to actually get it passed, more than one session. I was opposed to it because of the specific branding that they wanted to move forward. This is a reiteration of a fight that had happened in the 80s under the first George W. Bush, where they were pushing specific products out of Texas as these miracle cures for literacy. The reality is what it takes to be able to teach a child to read is quality attention and time by a skilled teacher who knows what they're doing. And there is no cheap way to do it, right? This isn't like baby, you know, you play baby Einstein and then 5 years later, your kid is a genius and can read at an eighth grade level when they're in kindergarten. It is that dedicated attention. And so finally they were able to add some dollars into it as you know, and people who pay close attention to state government, there's all kinds of great ideas of what legislators want to force other governments to do, but there always tends to be a shortage of dollars to actually fund them to act to do it. And so we drew the line and said, you at least have to put in some money. That gained bipartisan support, enough for the governor to sign it. And then wouldn't you know it, once it passed, the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee, Dewey Strobel specifically, who sits on that committee, as well as Joan Bolweg, are blocking the dollars from actually being spent. So you have this mandate to do a specific literacy program within it, within these public schools, but then the dollars to hire literacy coaches and actual dedicated professionals, they're sitting on those dollars. And if that's not bad enough, Pat, I'm sure you know this, but Dewey Strobel is running in the district immediately north of mine in north of Milwaukee County. And he is bragging about the literacy program that he ushered through, that he voted for, and saying how great this is. While at the same time, he is the chair of the committee that is blocking the money from actually being spent. So they're trying to take credit for something that he is literally blocking at the exact same time. I, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy in politics, but I don't know if you can top that one on a local basis.
It really is difficult to top doing something the way that they appear to be doing it. The inside baseball part of it, and folks, don't let me lose you in here, but there is that line item veto that governors have. Governors, whether Republican or Democrat, can choose to veto certain parts of certain bills. If Republicans, in this case, in the legislature, don't like the line item vetoes, they can vote to override it. If they have the votes, if they don't have the votes, they can't. It's baked into the process. It's legal. It gets to work. So Governor Evers has done some line item vetoes in this literacy bill, just as he did with the bill to clean up PFAS out of the drinking water, just as he did for the money that was supposed to go to the Chippewa Valley for their healthcare emergency after two hospitals closed. And Chris, after months of talking about this, I'm still trying to figure out how Republicans justify saying, well, we're not going to release the money for these things because we don't like the line item vetoes that Governor Evers put in all of these bills.
Yeah, I mean, talk about an inability to be able to work across the aisle, which I think is one of the biggest criticisms that gets put out there by folks who maybe aren't paying attention to the close details, but they think, well, wait a second, you guys should be able to figure out some of these things and work together. But in these cases, they are taking their ball and going home. They're refusing to expend the dollars. I mean, you bring up the PFAS stuff, and I'm sure your listeners are astute enough to know what PFAS are and the forever chemicals that are flowing in our water with high concentrations in different parts of the state. The legislature begrudgingly moved forward on trying to do something with PFAS. Now, the really wild part about this one is what Republicans are trying to hold over from the dollars being spent. They want to give immunity to the polluters. They want to be able to say, well, if you give these dollars, it's the equivalent of like taking a settlement check from an insurance company, that you can, if you take this, you know, pennies on a dollar for the damages, then you can't hold them liable in the future, which, as we're learning more and more, PFAS are unfortunately part of a lot of our ecosystems because they're forever chemicals. And the more we're learning, the more it's going to be essential to hold these polluting companies accountable because a lot of them knew it. Republicans, of course, are stepping into the fray and saying, well, let's make sure you can never hold them accountable for the pollution they caused you and your children. That's why they're sitting on these dollars in the Joint Finance Committee and why we can't address one of the biggest health crises in America.
It is really telling that they're in all of those instances trying to blame Governor Evers saying that, you know, he's the one that won't meet us. But again, he fulfilled his part of the law. He has the right to, you know, veto portions of these bills and in many cases to offer local governments more flexibility in how they do things. So at this point, it's not a matter of blaming Governor Evers. It sounds more like, you know, an attempt at extortion. But again, they're willing to not fund these programs, reading and water and health care. They're willing to sit with the water full of chemicals to try to extort some more concessions out of the governor. Obviously, we're not going to see any progress on this between now and when the legislature begins to take up the next budget in January. What's your hope, Senator Larson, about how things might be better come January, February, when you guys start working on the next 2-year state budget?
Yeah, I mean, look, we finally have fairer maps in the state of Wisconsin, which, you know, I think a lot of people recognize. I realize sometimes we get in the political talk. I'm sure your listeners know what that means. When I say that to the average person, they're saying, wait a second, did we finally get the UP? We got new maps in Wisconsin. It just means that the district lines have shifted in a way that's fairer. So votes are actually more reflective of the will of the people. The votes of people are going to reflect a greater degree in how their elected officials at the state level act in the assembly and the Senate. You know, that's why we have the assembly as a jump ball in the state of Wisconsin. There's competitive seats all over the place. If you have a state rep, if they're not in their own competitive district, they're out helping. That's where I'm going right now. If you can hear me driving in the background, to go help in a competitive district north of Dane County in the 14th for Sarah Kietzky. And this is going to change it. There will be more Democrats elected this cycle than we probably had in 12 years, because we have more Democrats running in more districts than we've had this in the 2000s. So in the last 24 years, and those folks are on the ground telling the story of exactly what's been going on at the Capitol and how we need to fund public education, how we need to give women autonomy over their own bodies, and how we need to make sure that healthcare is a right and not a privilege to be extorted, and more. So it's going to change the dynamics. And as you know, this happened right after you left the legislature, Pat. There was a rule that went down that they didn't even want us bowling with each other, Republicans and Democrats, because, gosh, you might actually get to like one another and actually get bills passed that help the people on a nonpartisan basis. So we can finally put that to an end. I don't know how soon we'll get our bowling shoes on.
Perhaps. And while we wait for him to jump to the next tower here, I want to note that Chris Hambuck Boyle put it on Facebook. Unfunded mandates for public schools force them to go to referendums across the state. So, and Chris's signal is back with us now. It's that, again, these endless referendums, perhaps something that can be addressed, because you're dealing with, you will have a multi-billion dollar surplus once again to work with. And I say that out of a sense, Chris, of insane jealousy, looking back at the 2009 budget that we had to put through at the start of the Great Recession with a $6 billion shortfall. So needless to say, I'm wishing you all the best in putting that surplus to work better than has happened the past two budget cycles.
Yeah, no, having the surplus is huge, and being able to decide what priorities we're going to spend it on, right? Because the argument has always been we don't have the funds to be able to fund K-12 public education, that higher education is not a priority. Sorry, we have to cut funds there. You know, issue after issue, local governments, local roads, all of these things. But now we're actually going to be able to invest in public education. You mentioned the referendums. We have a record number of referendums up this cycle. 243 up this year alone. Every municipality in my Senate district has had a referendum or is having one this year. And, you know, your listeners probably know already that if they haven't had a referendum, they will soon. If they've had one already, they're probably going to have another one in the next 3 to 4 years. And this is a result of Scott Walker's budgeting that restricts locals from being able to raise the revenue on their own, while the state government has hoarded all of this cash. And putting that in real sense, the dollars of what a child was worth in the state perspective on a per pupil basis is less now than it was when Scott Walker came into office in 2011. Which, so if you think about that, right, a child.
It says a lot about their priorities. Yeah, exactly. Senator Chris Larson, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Safe travels. We'll talk again after the election. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat. Let's go win.
You bet. Todd Alba coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, it's not really a bus stop, but it's as close as I could come up with on a bus tour. Maybe I should have went with Magic Bus. I don't know.
I like it.
I like how you enter the show and just immediately undercut yourself with regret and self-deprecation.
I did. I'm like, this is really isn't about a bus tour, but I got something in there related to a bus. Yeah. Todd's on a bus.
Well, not on a bus proper right now. We're into the plush Super 8 in Osseo, but we do have a bus. We're riding from locale to locale. And my voice is going too. Oh, gosh.
I can hear that. Yeah, clearly, yeah. There must be a lot that makes Wisconsin great for you to talk about
is.
On what it is that makes Wisconsin so wonderful.
Yeah, we're going around the state, six cities in 6 days. I've got my Wonder State coffee right here in my hot little hands. That's where we were yesterday in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the Driftless in southwest Wisconsin. Stopped in there, had TJ, one of the owners of Wonder State, had one of the local people from Community Radio, WDRT, there in Viroqua, and also talked to Lee Rosh, of course, longtime involved with Western Wisconsin Technical College, and now is working for a pro-democracy institute to help kind of spread the love and help people understand the truth about voting. So, and then Trigvi Olson, our friend from the Lincoln Project, native of River Falls, is along. And Reed Galen, one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project and now president of the union. So the union picked up the tab for the bus. So that was very nice of them. So because as we were loading in, the bus driver said, "You usually put all of this in your truck?" He said, "That's why there's only room for Trippy and I, and we do these things."
And now from now on,
or the case,
like,
or Jane.
I always want a bus.
Yes. Right, right, yes. I don't think that's a bad demand at all. And I love these bus tours. I love your tours around Wisconsin, getting the listeners more involved and allowing them even more of a say and get more local flavor, especially in these days prior to an election. That it's not a you're not a candidate, you're not a campaign, you're not an interest group. You're just a couple of chuckleheads with microphones who want to talk about the positive things about Wisconsin. Yeah. So let me ask it this way.
Sure, please.
What's the best case scenario coming out of this election? Let's not have anybody be fooled. Best case scenario is not some kind of like liberal fever dream where everything on Bernie Sanders' wish list is going to come true. That's never been the goal. But there is a goal that if everything on a Donald Trump wish list comes true, things ain't going to be so good about this. So what in your mind is a good or best case scenario coming out of this election?
Well, I think maybe one of the underreported stories, and I'll put myself in the guilty category of this, is not talking about what could happen in the state legislature. And today, we're going to speaking of a local, Pat, we're going to be at the beautiful Norske Nook here in Osseo having pie and coffee and talking to folks. That's where we're doing the show from today.
Hey, Greg, be careful. With all that drool coming out of both of us, we're going to electrocute ourselves.
I want to be on a bus tour.
Next time, come on along. But Jody Emerson, State Representative Jody Emerson, is going to be here. We're going to be talking about it at 1 o'clock and talking about these very important state legislative races. So, Pat, to answer your question, I think the best case scenario is, maybe we get a split in the legislature where the Democrats control the Assembly and the Republicans barely control the Senate and Tony Evers in the executive office. And that will force maybe listening to people and having to actually work together to get something done that is more centrist, which I think is in the best interest of voters. So going to be talking about that. Also, we have Craig Gilbert from former journalist, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the new Marquette Law School poll, which will be released around noon. And we'll talk to Craig about 12:30. And then we have, who else do we have? Oh, we have Elise Jordan from MSNBC's Morning Joe, a friend of Trigvi Olson. She'll be on at 1:30. So talking about all of that today. But I think as we're out here on the road, Pat, two things strike me. One, being up here away from the Madison media market, the vitriol, the hatred, the negativity, the sickness of the Republican ads, even at the state assembly level. Mike Hipsch's son, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Totally disgusting ad against State Representative Steve Doyle of the La Crosse area that's transphobic, hateful, and spiteful. I think that the big question here is what does this issue they're ginning up in these ads, how does that affect the U.S. Senate race? How does that affect down-ballot races in the state assembly? At the end of the day, I put my hope and trust in Wisconsin, that our community is what binds us together, and people are going to vote for people who support our local schools, our communities, our ag producers.
I hope so. But like I said earlier this hour, I've also seen Ron Johnson be dragged across the finish line by some of the most disgusting ads out there that just enough people buy into.
And really, really quickly, if you're someone who's on the fence, a person who's maybe leaning towards voting Democratic, please vote today. Please vote early, or at least vote on Election Day proper. Don't vote third party. Don't vote Jill Stein. A vote for third party or Jill Stein in quote-unquote protest over the Palestinian issues or whatever, that is a vote for Trumpism. That is a vote for hate. All Trump will do is put Bibi Netanyahu and tell him to do whatever the hell you want. So I'm not condoning everything, but if you think that Trump is going to give you a better Palestine, you are sadly mistaken, and you are on the wrong side of history.
And by the way, there's a shady Republican group that is really playing that up now, sending fake digital ads to college students and other young adult voters, urging them to vote against Tammy Baldwin because she's not doing enough for Gaza. And it's completely off base, sick, and but you don't. It's dark money funded, so you don't see that it's just Republicans making mischief. So
I'll say this quickly. Yep. Vote for Tammy Baldwin. This race is much closer than people think. Democrats are asleep at this. Eric Hovde is gaining. Tammy needs every single vote. Get out and canvass.
And we'll hear much more in the poll later today. And then you've got the bus tour that continues. So safe travels. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Patrick. We appreciate it. Thanks, Greg. Bye-bye.
All right. And coming up, Greg Bach is back 2 hours from now for Matt and Air on Air.
Yes, indeed.
With Dr. Kristen, how do you say this? Lyerly is the name?
Yes. That's an uppercomer, newcomer to the political scene, a doctor, I guess. Yeah. We'll see what she has to say.
And running for Congress as well.
Oh, so that too, that too.
At 10, at 10:30. Thanks to all of you for being part of Up North News Radio. Enjoy your Wednesday. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.